I am really excited to be with you again this week as we continue our journey into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. We're going to see things even beyond the book of Acts. That's what the Lord has said, that the latter rain is going to exceed the former rain. The glory of the latter house shall exceed the glory of the first house. What a time to be alive. Now, today's lesson is titled, just a simple title, Speak Words. And I kept trying to change it a little bit and nope, speak words. So, and I believe you'll see why as we go through this. I'm really excited about this lesson. Now today, of course, this will be a PDF available to you, these notes. I'm going to have to stick fairly close because I've got 5 pages today of these notes, and usually I have about 3. So, and I'm sure he wants all of this included in today's lesson. So I just want to remind you, those years ago, I was teaching at one of the conferences at the prayer center, and right in the middle of me teaching, I'm just teaching away, and I see Jesus walk through the wall. He walks right over to the podium where I'm speaking. Nobody else saw him but me. He put his finger right down on the Bible and just said, "I want to be believed." Well, I want to believe him. Don't you? And I know you do. That's why we're all in these lessons. Now, we finished last week's lesson by remembering something that the Holy Spirit said to me about what believing really is. And I want to quote it again for you. Again, all of this is in the notes. He said to me, believing is recoding the mind. It is a biological, physical disconnecting of old neural paths and a reconnecting of new neural paths. Repetition is a major key, exactly the same way that you learned the alphabet and the multiplication tables and everything else that you have learned. The process is precisely the same. This is how you go from unbelief to believing. Rewind all the way back. Now, this is a personal instruction to me. Rewind all the way back to the words document that I originally gave you. Upon that foundation is how you rebuild your belief system to align with my belief system. Okay, that's the end of the quote. So, in the first 2 series, Recoding the Brain and Believing Jesus, I went back through that original document that he spoke to me. It came to me piecemeal, here a little, there a little, mainly through tongues and interpretation back in 1986, 1987. I've already been through everything that he said to me in that document. But because of what he's, because the lesson today, though, I'm going to quote a specific part of it. Speak Words is the title of today's lesson. And he said to me way back in that document, I'm quoting again the Holy Spirit, speak words, speak words, speak words, my son. Words of confession, words of intercession, words of praise, words of worship, words of truth, words of spirit, words of life. 1 puts 1,000 to flight, 2 puts 10,000 to flight. The Lord wants multitudes speaking the same things. Nothing that they imagine shall be denied them. Well, let's go all the way back to the New Testament beginning. You know, we got Genesis, and then we got the New Testament Genesis, which to me is John chapter 1. Genesis 1 starts in the beginning. John 1 starts in the beginning. So let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, get this. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made without the Word. Okay. Turning the page. How did He, the Word, create everything? How? Well, all you have to do is look at Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and God said, and God said. He spoke words. I like to say God the Father, He imagined everything. He pictured everything that He wanted, He designed or thought of. The Word spoke everything, but we know it was the Holy Spirit on earth brooding over the face of the deep, and it was the Holy Spirit, I like to call Him the molecule changer, that enforced those words. Okay. Now, obviously, the Son believed the Word of God when He spoke it. There was no unbelief in Him. He was God. He is God. He is the Word. He's with God. He is God. There's no unbelief there. So, when the Word spoke, the Holy Spirit moved to manifest those words in the material realm. Jesus is calling us to go from having knowledge of His Word to believing His Word, and there is a vast difference. The instant we believe, we will have what we say. Now, this is how the Creator, Christ, the Word in the beginning, this is how the Creator, Christ in us, the Word in us, the Creator in us, continues to create on earth today. Now let's start with the very first message that our King spoke. We're going to believe Him. Jesus says, I want to be believed. Well, let's start with His first message. How about we just start with believing that? Jesus, we believe You. What are you going to believe? Well, I'm going to start where You started. Okay. So that's Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John, that's John the Baptist, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let's get our words in agreement with that. You might just say after me, Jesus, I believe You. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. God has made His power available to me on earth now in Your name. Now, this is all predicated, you know, for you to say that. It's predicated on you being a believer, and not only being a believer, but being one where the King is your Lord, where you do what He says. You know, Jesus said, why did You call Me Lord and do not the things that I say? Well, all of this is predicated. I mean, there's so many of the teachings consolidated in this lesson today, and I promise you there is no time to go back and review. If I had time, we'd go back to Luke 17, 1 through 10, and talk about, you know, you want to have great faith? Well, become a servant to the King. Whatever the King says, you go do that. You're going to have great faith. Okay. See? Now, that was quick. I did like how many lessons on that to get that truth. Okay. Jesus, we believe You. We're saying what You say. Okay. How about John 16, 23? Jesus said in that day, and now He's talking about this day that we're living in now, you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Well, let's start off by saying what He said. We're going to believe Jesus, right? So I say, and you can say after me, whatever I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He gives it to me. Now, for a second witness, you can go to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, which I've summarized here. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, then we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Well, that's the same thing. Whatever you ask in My name, He will give it you. So let's say it again. Whatever I ask the Father in Jesus' name, He gives it to me. Okay? How about, here's another one. Here's what the King has said. Now remember another thing He said. The kingdom of God works the way the King says it does, and not the way you think it does. I love that. I just love that. Now here's John 14, 12, which has kind of been the foundation verse for these whole series. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, let's agree with him. Let's just agreement. Amos 3:3, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, we can start by at least saying what he said. So we're going to say what he said. Because I believe on you, Jesus, I do the same works you did. Because you are now with the Father. And I'm going to add a little bit. In me. Did you know Christ and the Father are in you? This is all review. Now this goes all the way back to John 17:23. Jesus praying for us. He says, praying that we all be one, like he and the Father are one. Christ in us and the Father in Christ. He said it, I in them and thou in me. Well, let's say that again. Because I believe on you, Jesus, I do the same works you did. Because you are now with the Father, and notice, in me. I know they're in heaven, but Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of manifestation on earth. Christ in you and the Father in him. Well, let's keep going. I hope you can tell these are all reviews of many lessons. But he's got it. We're on a mission today now. We're on a mission. You're going to like this. How about John 14, verses 13 and 14? What did the king say? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, now, where does he do it from? Heaven? Or is it from inside of you? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, if I go there, we'll never make it to the end. All of these lessons have come before, okay? So let's picture this, where he says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, who do we ask? The Father. But that will I do. We ask the Father in his name. The Father says yes. Jesus says, I'll do that. Okay. So let's say, so the Father says, we ask a petition, whatever it is. And the Father says, I grant this. And that has to be according to his will. We just saw that a while ago there in 1 John. But according to his will. Well, there's a lot of, we know a lot of what his will is. The Father, I hear somebody going, how do I know what the will is? Jesus said, if you want to know the Father, look at me. Philip, you want me to show you the Father? Philip, have you been with me so long and you don't understand this? Philip, Gary, you, if you want to know the Father, look at me. Well, look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He healed everyone that came and asked for healing. He opened the blind eyes. What does Jesus call abundant life? When that verse that we say, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you leave that in context, that all flows from when he healed that man that was born blind from birth. He born that way, birth defect, never saw. God does not call that abundant life. He calls seeing abundant life. Glory to God. My friend Homer is going to see again. Hallelujah. And I mean soon. That's what the king said. It works the way he says it does. All right, Gary, settle down. I'm going to start this paragraph again because it's too good. The Father says, so we ask a petition, whatever we ask the Father in his name. Well, the Father says, yes. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Yes, all the promises. Look it up for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Then you said, whatever we ask the Father in your name, Lord, he would give it to us, and then you would do it. You do it. Well, how do you do it? How has the Son always done the work? He speaks. This is the Word made flesh and living among us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now it's the Word made flesh in you. Well, how has he always done it? Nothing was created without him. How did he always do it? He spoke it. You speak it. When you say you're going to do it, well, that's going to happen by you speaking it. Well, how do you speak it on earth? What lips do you have on earth to speak with? You speak it when I speak it. You speak it with these lips. It's not really me speaking it, it's you speaking it. Jesus said, he, at another place, and I didn't write this verse down, he said, I don't even say anything without I hear my Father say it. Okay? You speak it on earth when I speak it on earth. My lips are your lips. He doesn't have any lips on earth but ours. And then the Holy Spirit, it's always, how is he always created? We've got the will of the Father. Yes. Christ in us speaks through these lips, and the Holy Spirit performs it just like he always has. That's why I believe that I have what I say. See, all of this, Jesus summed up in Mark 11, verses 22 through 24. And I know you probably know them. I'm going to read them to you anyway. It's good to hear the word of God. Now, all of this is summarized right here. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily, truly, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, we just looked at this, believe you receive them, that the Father says yes, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now see, you're a born-again child of God. God desires that none of your words fall to the ground. I'm going to show you that from Scripture here. Did you know you have a standing as a son? And this applies to you women as much to us men. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. It simply means we're heirs, okay? Joint heirs with Christ. You have the standing of a son of God in the family of God. Did you know Jesus said your status is greater than high, it's higher than all of the saints of the Old Testament? Gary, you're talking, I'm going to slap you, Gary. You're talking about Moses and Elijah and Samuel and King David. Come here. I'm going to slap your face. How dare you say that? How can you say that? Well, I say it because Jesus said it. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Truly I say to you, this is Jesus the King speaking. Among them that are born of women. That's everybody. I don't know anybody not born of women. There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least, doing that on purpose, least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I lose words when I think about that. Trying to comprehend that? Jesus said that born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Well, I mean, we're talking Moses, Elijah, Elijah, King David, Job, on and on and on. All of the saints, of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all, Solomon. What? Now, Jesus said that born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. But he said the least in the kingdom of God was greater than John the Baptist, so that means every believer, and I mean down to the least one, is greater than the prophet Samuel. Gary? Jesus said it. Okay. Now look what God said about Samuel. And you can see it in your own Bible here. Look at 1 Samuel 3:19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Who did that? Was it Samuel that did that? God let none of his words fall to the ground. Now see, Jesus in Mark 11 that we just read up there, 22 through 24, Jesus said that believers would have what we say. For that to happen, that means God will not let your words fall to the ground. We have a status greater than Samuel. We have a status greater than John the Baptist. We are sons. We are heirs in the kingdom of God. When we speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus, we are to believe. What do you mean? What does faith in God mean? We are to believe that God is going to enforce those words, and that mountain is going to move. You know, when it moves into the sea, anything that is cast into the ocean, you don't see it anymore. I don't care how big that mountain is. You can take Mount Everest and throw it into the sea, you don't see it anymore. The Egyptian army, the most powerful army on the face of the earth, are coming after the little Israelites there in the wilderness, thinks he's got them trapped. By the end of that, you don't see that army anymore. They were cast into the sea. Now listen, we have what we say. We have what we say. It was the Lord, I'm going to say it again, it was God who did not let Samuel's words fall to the ground, and it's God who's not going to let your words fall to the ground. Now Jesus prefaces that whole thing there, Mark 11, 23 and 24. He starts it off with, have faith in God. Now, in order for this to work for us, we're going to have to bridle our tongue. You remember what James said? I didn't look the verse up for you. But James said, if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is just in vain. And what doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means non-productive. It doesn't have any effect in the earth, really. It doesn't cause mountains to move. Okay. But in order to bridle our tongue, we're going to have to believe that God will enforce the words coming out of our mouth. When we speak, God moves, or no ministry really happened. Again, so many lessons. But I got to stay the course, my brother and sister. We got quite a bit to cover here. Now, we have what we say. And by that, because of that, we have faith in God. The two things are, Jesus equates them. Have faith in God by believing. He will let none of your words fall to the ground. And when you speak, God moves. That mountain will move. You speak to the mountain. We have so not believed this that we have a habit of speaking to God about the mountain. But that's not what he said. No, as sons, we have authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore you go. Behold, I give unto you power, authority, to tread on all the power, on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy. We have not believed that. That's why we keep talking to God about the problem. To say the mountain, instead of talking to the mountain. We don't believe we have the authority. Okay, that's, again, I got to stick with the course. I'm going to back up a little bit and just say what I wrote here. Okay. We have what we say. And by that, we have faith in God. Samuel was very careful to only speak what God said. Jesus said he only spoke what the Father said. And that's why the Holy Spirit instructed me way back in that words document all those years ago. He was trying to start me off. And this is also why he told me to rewind to this foundation, because this is the foundation that we have to build the ministry on. When I say the ministry, Christ in the earth, the revival, what he wants to get done. Here's what he said to me. The tongue must be bridled or your religion is in vain. The strong thing to overcome is not really appetites and lusts, but rather the tongue. The tongue controls the body. My spirit, through my word, can tame your tongue. Speak my word. speak in line with my word at all times. And I remember when I heard it way back in 86, I think it was. When I heard it, it was an emphasis. That's why I put it in bold and all caps, at all times. Now, over my 30-some-odd years, almost 40 years from then, of living this out, I have learned two things. God's not going to tame your tongue for you. If you don't believe me, spend 40 years trying to get him to do it. You're going to find out he's not going to do it for you. Then I found out another even worse thing. I can't tame my tongue myself either, even with my best efforts. You ever tried it? Try it. Just don't try it for 40 years. Learn quick. Okay, learn quicker. I've learned quicker too. We can't not do it either by trying. Trying won't get it done. I promise you. How do you know? Going on. You already know how I know. I tried it. I'm only going to speak God's word. Huh? You'd be lucky if you make it an hour. There is really only one. Jesus, okay, the kingdom of God works the way the king says it does and not the way you think it does. What did the king say about taming the tongue? All right, look, go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Here's the king telling us exactly how it works. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. Now notice, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what's the key to taming the tongue? What's the key to speaking God's word and in line with God's word all the time? Filling our heart with the word of God. To such abundance, it's what comes out. Now, I want to give you a little history now. This is mine. This is just about me and Sue and our history now, trying to live and learn these things, learn and live these things. When God called me and Sue into full-time ministry, I just got to tell you, my heart was full of life's experiences. I was 47 at the time. I'd lived almost a half century on this earth, and I had a pretty much a lifetime of experience. And most of it, not in line with God's word, okay? You see a lot of things at the end of 47 years living on this earth. But it was also full of many years of indoctrination that I had received in my youth, growing up in a denominational church. Well-meaning preachers, I know they meant well. But they filled me. I mean, they did love Jesus, and they had a heart for the lost, and they would preach the cross and Christ crucified and get a lot of people saved, but they'd also teach a lot of error. And I don't want to, there's no point. But now, for today's lesson, this is something that I had to learn about filling my heart with the abundance of God's word. They taught me, and they taught all of us, that really, if you're really going to have God, you just couldn't have abundance. You had to be, not like homeless, but you couldn't really have a lot. See, those were the days. Now, God called us full time to ministry. And I got to tell you, money, as I often say, let me tell you, money was staying away in great abundance. Nobody was asking us to preach. We weren't going anywhere. We only had this little home Bible study that we started. And even there, he told me not to sell anything, and he told me not to take up offerings from them, which we didn't. Now, a few times, they took up offerings on their own, but that was them. We never said a word. Now, see, and even at that time, I had knowledge of prosperity scriptures. I'm a good student, always have been, and I could teach. I could teach prosperity scriptures. I just had one problem. I had knowledge of them. I could teach them. I just couldn't live them. And I'm telling you, money was staying away in great abundance. because I had strongholds. I didn't realize how strong they were. I had strongholds. I had been indoctrinated from a child, from about, that I can remember, about age 4, clear up to about age 16 when I had a car, discovered girls. I attended church faithfully because I was drugged there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all week they had, quote, a revival going. I had strongholds. If you're really going to have God now, you just can't have very much, you know. They used to joke all the time. There really wasn't a joke, but they would, ha, ha, ha. We're praying for our pastor. God, you keep him humble, and we'll keep him poor. And they were only about half joking there. But now, what I'm about to say, I'm not preaching it as a formula. I just don't have any other testimony to give but my own. I only have my life, me and Sue. I don't have any other testimony to give, okay? So this is not a formula. All I can do is share with you what he told me to do. Because here we are, full-time ministry, and we're getting behind on everything. I mean, money is staying away in great abundance. We had no income whatsoever. We're only in our 40s at the time. We're not near really, you know, eligible for Social Security or anything like that. We didn't have any disability, nothing. Can you say not a zip, zero? Okay. So here's what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. Just clear as a bell. We were good students of Dave Roberson. I was spending lots of time in prayer. And when I say lots of time, I mean lots of time in prayer and listening, learning how to discern his voice. And the Holy Spirit I just got an instruction one day, clear as a bell, like you're hearing me now. He told me to choose 3 prosperity scriptures. He let me choose them and speak them out loud 4 hours a day. Now, I usually spend a whole lesson teaching that. I'm not going to do it today because we just don't have time. Point number one, he let me choose the scriptures. There is no magic bullet scripture, okay? Let me just tell you right now, every word of God is full of power. You can just believe one. Every word of God is full of power. We can go to Hebrews where it says the word of God is quick. That means alive. The word of God is a living thing. It is alive and powerful. It's like dynamite. And strong is sharper than any two-edged sword. We could teach forever. You know, all these are, this lesson today is a cumulative of really dozens, if not hundreds of lessons. Every word of God is full of power to create his will on earth. Did you hear that? Every word of God is full of power to create his will on earth. But that word must be believed to be activated. Now, the Holy Spirit said this to me recently, I mean, within the last year. He said, know that my word is spirit. My word is life. It has the capacity still to create all things whatsoever I have spoken. It's alive and it's still full of power. Now, he let me choose the 3 words and the 3 verses. And a lot of times when I teach this, I don't even give them because people, oh, the magic 3 verses. No, I could have chosen. The reason he knows me and he knows that a very strong foundational principle in me is where the word says, by 2 or 3 words, let every truth be established. By 2 or 3 witnesses, let every truth be established. And he knows me. I want witnesses. I want at least one of those verses to be from the Old Testament, you know. And so he knows me. I want 2 or 3. So he said, choose 3. Gary, you pick them. Because he knows his word is full of power. Pick them, Gary, you pick them. Well, I picked these 3. I'm going to go ahead and share them with you this time. Psalms 34:10. Here's my Old Testament. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, and that means lack, shall not lack any good thing. I picked this one, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And then I chose Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I usually take a whole service to just tell this story, but I'm just going to quickly summarize. It took me forever to do that. I picked them out. I wrote them out on 3x5 card. Didn't even have a computer in those days. Wrote them out on a 3x5 card and carried it with me. And at the time, I was doing some work on a rent house that we had, trying to get it ready to sell because we needed money desperately. And so I'm trying to renovate this house. And I would start trying to do it. And again, I don't want to take a lot of time, but my reasonings, and I know there was probably devils involved on my shoulder going, this is stupid. What good does just speaking words into the air do? How is this going to pay the bills? You've gone off the deep end now. You've become a fanatic. But on and on and on, I'd try to do it, and the reasonings would just, I wouldn't make it 5 minutes. I'd quit, go back to sanding or hammering or whatever I was doing on the rent house. But see, the situation, our financial situation just kept getting more desperate while I'm not obeying what God told me to do. And I'd like to say that it was my great faith that, yes, I'm going to obey God. I heard his instruction and I obey. I'd love to tell you that. The truth is, our situation got so desperate. I describe it like this. It's like, here's this cliff, okay? Here's this cliff, and my toes, this is financial disaster. You're going off the cliff. That's it. And my toes, it gotten so bad that my toes were hanging out over the edge of the cliff, like one more step and we're gone, you know? It was just pure desperation. There was nothing else to do. It was either give up on this full-time ministry thing and go back to just a normal life with a job, which it's not my fault he called me, okay? It's wonderful to have a job and have a ministry. This, I won't have any other testimony to give. He's not calling everybody to do this, okay? But I am. You're going to see a principle, though, that I know now works for anything, anybody, anytime, okay? Getting ahead of myself a little. But I tell that story. Finally, it just got so desperate, there was nothing else to do. And I did not want to give up on full-time ministry and just go back to normal life because he had called me. I knew he called me. I can take you to the mile marker on Interstate 40 in Arkansas. I can take you to the mile marker today where I heard, to me, it was audible in the cab of that truck. I don't know if you'd have been in that truck, you might have heard it. I don't know. It was that clear to me. He told me. He called me full time. So anyway, that's the end of that. Don't have more time than that. Anyway, I finally started doing it. Finally made it 4 hours. And yes, I timed it. And all the while, my reasonings and no doubt probably a devil on each shoulder shouting in my spiritual ear, this is stupid. You're dumb. You've gone off the deep end. You're a fanatic now. This won't help anything. What could possibly just speaking these words into the air? How could that change anything? On and on and on. But I did it. I did it. And once I did it the first day, it was easier to do it the second day, and then the third day, then the first week, then the second week, then the first month. And I hate to admit, looking back at it now, I hate to admit that that stronghold that had been put in me for as a child listening to that those messages all those years, the stronghold was so in me. It took months. If I remember correctly, it was November-ish when I started finally. I wasn't as good in those days at keeping records, you know. But it was November-ish, I think. And if I remember correctly, it was April when the stronghold finally broke. And what do you mean it broke? Day after day. Before I would take time out of my day. I wouldn't even do anything. I didn't do it while I was hammering. I could have, but I didn't do it while I was hammering. I actually stopped everything, and I just walked the floor and spoke them. Took 4 hours out of my day. It seemed, I mean, trust me, you don't need the 3x5 card after about the first 15 minutes. You know? I kept it. I wish I'd still had it today, but I don't. Over and over. Say them again. Say them again. Speak them. Speak words. Speak words. Speak his words. Speak directly his words over, and young lions do hunger and suffer lack. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. My God shall supply over and over and over weeks that became months. And did your situation change? Oh, yeah. It got worse. God did a few deliverances, a few miracles for us to keep us, one nostril above water during that whole time. We only ever had one thing get shut off during that night. We were threatened on everything: electricity, gas, water. you pay the electric bill this month, the gas bill next month, type of thing. I mean, it was tough. And the only thing that ever got shut off really was our telephone. It got shut off, and a person found that out by trying to call us. And they wound up catching us up on our telephone bill. That's the only thing that ever actually got shut off. But boy, it looked like everything got shut off. Or was going to get shut off. Okay. What do you mean it changed? Well, the change happened on the inside first. And all I can tell you was I'm doing it again. I'd been doing it every day for months. From November till sometime, I think, in April. Again, I wish I kept better records. All I can tell you is what it felt like to me. I'm doing it again. And that day, it's like I had been living in a room of barely making it. I mean, like scarcity, lack. I'm living in that room. And it's like I stepped out of that room through a door. It's like I stepped over a threshold into another room of provision. I won't really say abundance, but provision, where everything's met. And if you go look at this verses I was confessing, that's really what I was. They're not abundance verses. They're provision verses. I see that now. I didn't see it then. All I know is it's like I stepped into a room. When I drove home that day, we had a stack of unpaid bills about this tall. And I remember I walked directly in the door. I walked straight over to that stack of bills. And I said, without thinking of it ahead of time, I pointed at those bills and I said, we don't live there anymore. And in the natural, nothing was changed, but everything was changed. And I can look back on it now. I'm telling you, that day marked the bottom of our roller coaster ride financially. Now, it wasn't an instant swift, but I mean, the trajectory changed. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this. We're 30 years later, more than 30 years later, and the provision is still there. And we've been sorely tempted to violate the instructions he gave us to let you know that we had it. One time, and again, I'm just going to summarize because we've got more to do. One time, I mean, if you think the enemy won't come and try your ground, he will. And many, many times. The worst one that I can remember, the finances, and we didn't do anything. We're just doing what he told us to do. We didn't get in violation. It was just a pure attack, spirit of lack or whatever it was. But, I mean, and we didn't do anything. We're just doing what he told us to do, sending everything free, and the ministry was growing. We had employees at that time. We had volunteers. At that time, that they wouldn't even let me pay them. But anyway, I mean, suddenly things dried up, and I didn't know what else to do. We're out of blank cassette tape. So, well, here's my credit card. Go, let's buy some. He didn't tell me not to keep on doing it. Long story short, we had to start doing the same kind of thing, even to get groceries. I mean, everything in the natural looked like this is not working. Now, I have to shorten this. Well, how bad did it get, Gary? Well, to the point of $46,000 in debt. Roughly 46. Again, I'd have to go back and get roughly 46,000. You think the enemy wasn't shouting in my ear? You're a fool. You're an idiot. Look. And your credit rating used to be sterling. Look where it is now, I couldn't, we were late paying our employees, they wouldn't get paid Friday. Maybe they get paid Monday or Tuesday of the following week. I mean, the money was just trickling in. And you know, temptation. What was all that about? Trying to get us to violate the instructions he gave us. You better write an appeal letter. And I got to tell you, in my mind, I would catch myself composing an appeal letter. I'd catch myself doing it, letting people know that we were in trouble. Because I knew if I let them know, they would help. I knew you would. All I had to do is let you know we're in trouble. And I could have let my parents know. At the time, they weren't rich, but they were well off, you know. I could have let them know, and help would have come. But that's just not what he said to us. And again, it's not a formula. I don't have any other testimony to give you but mine. Well, I was tempted to sell things. You know, all these reasonings would come. Look at these big ministries. I'm not going to name any of them, but you'd probably the ones you'd recognize. Oh, they had DVDs for sale and CDs for sale and MP3s for sale and books for sale and on and on and on. And I'm not against any of that. It's just not what he told us. He told us, you make everything free. Don't even put in a return envelope. You make everything free. Man, you know, and Sue and I, we'd talk, you know, and she says, sink or swim, I'm with you. If we wind up under a bridge wearing gunny sacks, if we go bankrupt, in this case, if we go bankrupt, I'm with you. You know, I want you to obey God. We're going to obey God. You know, I think about those times. It would have been real easy to just give up, surrender to the circumstances, rather than hold fast to what the king said to me. But we held fast, and it lasted a while. Now, this went on, I wish I had better records, but it was at least a couple of years that this went on that way. And then all of a sudden, without, you know, all we needed to do was keep on doing what he already told us to do, and we did that. And I'm telling you, without us ever sending it, without ever letting anybody know, without it ever sending out an appeal letter, without anything, all of a sudden, you know, God had told us that the way this was going to work, he was going to speak to the hearts of the people he chose to support us and the ministry. Boy, all of a sudden we started getting these huge gifts. I mean, in those days, normal gift was, you know, anything, $5, $20, $50, you know, and still we get a lot of those today. We thank God for each and every one of you. I mean, I know it's harder for some people to send $10, for somebody else to send $1,000, you know. And that was a normal thing, you know, $50, $20, $5. A big gift was $100 in those days. And all of a sudden we got a gift, $5,000. Again, I can't tell this whole story again. I called the guy to make sure he hadn't made a mistake. I thought, well, man, because he'd never given anything near that before. He lived in Australia. And I called him and talked to him. I said, I thought maybe he'd hit an extra zero, you know. I said, did you really mean to send $5,000? And he said, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. Oh, yeah, I meant to send $5,000. I said, may I ask why you sent so much? And he said, oh, I've been saving up. Within a week or two of that, another person sent $7,000. Then here come another one for $5,000. And here come one for $10,000. And this kept on for the rest of that year, to where by the end of the year, we only had, I can't remember now, but I don't know, roughly $1,000 or something like that. It wasn't a whole lot. All of that had been wiped out. Because we knew every one of those big gifts went right on the debt. Boom, right on the debt, right on the debt. And by the end of the year, and I got a phone call, it was a phone call. Pastor Jin Ho Kim from South Korea called me, and really it was to do with some, I was helping him get some of Kenneth Hagin's books, copyrighted permission for him to translate them into Korean. But in the course of that conversation, right near the end, he says, oh, we wish you a happy new year. We took up a little offering for your ministry. Be blessed. Happy new year. Bye-bye. Well, as soon as he hung up, I'm going, you sent a gift to the ministry? Tack-a-tack-a-tack-a. I'm looking. Get the computer. I'm going. It was enough to pay off the debt, except for $10. And I remember going, Lord, I've got $10. This is done. And we paid that debt off. Glory to God. Never been back in debt since. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. It works. Now I got to get back to the notes. We've got 10 minutes. This is going to work. Okay. So I told you the story. And without ever selling a product, without ever violating what he told us to do, without ever letting anybody know that our needs personally or the needs of the ministry, God just took it upon himself. Oh, by the way, once that debt was paid off, those huge gifts stopped as quick as they started. It was just God taking care of the problem. He moved on the hearts of the people. They did it. Okay. But now when I look back on it now, all of that time where I'm just walking the floor, speaking God's word, and I mean, I'm just speaking, I didn't even make them into personal confessions. I was just literally speaking God's word 4 hours a day. You know what I was doing? Different words. I mean, what I mean is, I'm going to use different words. I was recoding my brain. It's exactly what I was doing. I was recoding my brain. You remember when he said earlier there, he said recoding the mind, the brain. Repetition. Repetition is a major tool. What was I doing? Repetition. Same way I learned my alphabet. Same way I learned my multiplication tables. Same way we pretty much learned anything we've ever done. Repetition. How'd you learn to drive a car? How'd you learn to do everything? Repetition. You had to recode your brain. You remember in the very beginning, first time you ever tried to drive a car, especially if it was, if you're my age and it was a clutch, you had to use a clutch. And what I learned on, you had to double clutch. I mean, man, everything is awkward trying to remember it. Oh, yeah, a mirror. Okay, left turn signal, clutch, shift, clutch. No, brake. Ah, the first time you nearly went out through the windshield. It was so awkward. But see, after recoding the brain, after doing it and doing it and doing it, pretty soon you're driving along. You got one hand on the steering wheel. You're eating a hot dog with the other. You're talking to your friend, listening to the radio. Hopefully you don't really do it like that. But I'm just saying, it became you. Can I say it this way? It's almost like you and the car become one. Your brain is recoded. It's a natural thing, not an awkward thing for you anymore. Oh, man. See right there, I'm hearing that. He says, you're going to look back on these days and just laugh that you ever thought the miracles were so hard. It will become a natural thing, like taking your next breath. My goodness. Whew. I was recoding my brain. I didn't understand that terminology then. But at the same time, now I'm seeing that's how you tame the tongue. My language stopped speaking lack. At some point during that whole process, I don't even remember when it happened, but I quit speaking the circumstances. Why? The word of God filled my heart to abundance so that when I spoke, it was the word coming out of me. I'm going to read it just like I wrote it, okay? Looking back on it now, what was I doing during all that time? I was recoding my brain. And at the same time, I was taming my tongue by filling my heart in abundance with the word of God. Now listen, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now get this part. The word is still creating God's will to be done when you say what God says. I want to say it again. The kingdom of God is within you. And that word, the creative word, is still creating God's will to be done when you say what God says. One last thing here now. You've heard me teach on this so many times. Why did God change Abram's name to Abraham? And you know what that means. The word Abraham means in the Hebrew language, I am the father of a multitude. And here's a man that's never, him and his wife together have never had a child of their own. They don't have a child. Yet God is having him speak the end result of what he said. Abram, I want you to say, I'm changing your name. Every time you say this, every time you say who you are, you're saying, I am the father of a multitude. Exactly opposite of all your lifetime. He was 99 years old. The exact opposite of all your lifetime of your experience, Gary. Exactly the opposite of your 47 years of lifetime. Speak my word. Say what I said. So, why did God change Abram's name to Abraham? He was changing what Abraham believed about himself. He's recoding Abram's mind. Abram, before he became Abraham, he had a lifetime of reasonings, like I had a lifetime of reasonings, things like this. I could list a lot more. I'm too old. My wife is too old. I'm impotent now. Oh, by the way, my wife is past menopause. She's not even producing eggs anymore. You know, we never could have children, even when we were young. There's just something wrong with us. We just can't have kids. You know, it's been a quarter century since God told me that promise. I'm just beginning to wonder if God's promise is ever going to really happen for us. And I could go on. You know, those kind of reasonings was in Abram. They laughed when God, at age 99 and Sarah was 90, they laughed when God said about this time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. They didn't start off believing. Again, all of this is in all these previous lessons. I want to paraphrase. When God changed Abram's name to where he had to say about himself, what God said, I am the father of a multitude. It's like God was saying this. Now, this is Gary's paraphrase. Don't write me no letters. Abram, you can just sack up all that unbelief and just set it over there aside. Stop the reasonings and simply say what I said. I am the father of a multitude. And it's like he was telling Abraham, my word, God's word, when believed and spoken, still has the power to create my will on earth. Speak words. Speak words. Speak words. Glory to God. Let's fill our heart to abundance, to overflowing with the word of God. Let's say it and say it and say it and recode our brain. Glory to God. I got work to do now. I got to do my own preaching. See you again next time. Bye-bye.